It's Monday, May 13th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuing strong tech podcast. This is show number 858, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our May GoDaddy special, get 32% off using promo code GO32OFF1 or get a .com for just $2.49. Find all the details at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everybody got a great show lined up for you. Going to talk about quite a few things, including my new Fitbit. We'll talk about that here in a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran here in the venerable studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. I want to give a warm welcome to the Ahana and all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. And we flipped that switch way too soon. hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And thanks for being subscribed and staying subscribed. Those of you new to the show, we want you to subscribe to the show as well. It's real easy to do so. Just go over to geeknewscentral.com and you can knock that out. What happened here? Modular Surface has stopped working. Does that mean I'm going to... The system is going to crash or what? No, it's working now. Okay. Oh, had me worried there for a second. But that wasn't good. My modular surface being the modular surface that I used to switch the video with. And the TriCaster was telling me that had crashed. And it's still on. So keep your fingers crossed. So something plays funky or something like that. We'll know that there's a gremlins afoot. So I'm going to load up some other stuff to keep an eye on it here. But as I was saying to all of you that were new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great stuff there. Subscribe to the show. Subscribe to the newsletter. That way you won't miss a single episode. And the newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about in the show today. And it'll be emailed to you immediately following the show. And really, that's kind of the best way to stay abreast of what's going on here. Of course, the show notes for the show are at gncshownotes.com. With the podcast available via iTunes and everywhere else that really is possible from a glass standpoint or even from just a standard media player. Of course, we want to have you check out the show as well on our variety of channels on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. And if you need to, you can contact me here real easily via Twitter at Geek News, or you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. And I think I actually had an email come in saying that there was something on the hotline and something I neglected to grab. So what I'll do is I'm walking through the stuff on the show tonight. I'll go over there and try to navigate there with dexterity and keeping the show rolling along here. One thing that I want to... Quickly share with you guys is I hope you all had a nice Mother's Day. Hope you took your moms out to lunch or at least sent them something nice. So we did a staycation here in Honolulu. And basically what that means is instead of staying at the house, we stayed downtown and did the tourist thing really for evening, which was fun. My wife was able to go out with her girlfriends the night before and have a nice time. So that was good. So all the moms out there, I hope you enjoyed your Mother's Day, and all those of us that's all of us. I hope everyone took care of their moms in a nice way. So want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at today's show. And we got some great deals for you this month. It's really fantastic what they've been putting together for us. And you can find all the codes and all the promotions at geeknewscentral.com geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And really, it's easy. Once you're over on the website, all you got to do is scroll down the website and you're going to see a GoDaddy promo code link. Just click on that. That's going to take you to the page with all those deals. And we got a $2.49.com offers. So go out there and get one, two, three, four, five. So anyway, get one new oratransfer.com for the first year for $2.49. And we got the 32% offer as well. So that $249 deal and a 32% off deal expires at the end of the month. So all those codes, again, the 249 code is GEEK249 when you check out, or GO32OFF1 is the promo code for the 32% off on a new order. And then lots of other codes. I used a couple of codes this weekend on some stuff. I used my GEEK5 code, and that's really a popular code. It's, say, 15% on any order. That's a renewal or anything. It's $20 or more. While the 32% off code is for new purchases, you can get 15% off on a renewal. And we got $20 off on 75 or more, 10 bucks off 50 or more, 5 bucks off 30 or more. We got new.coms at $8.49 using ComSale 3. So there's, again, a whole bevy of codes. Mix and match them. Use them there as you desire. And save a lot of money over at GoDaddy. We use GoDaddy exclusively here at geeknewscentral.com for all of our hosting needs. Everything that you see on the website is delivered to us via GoDaddy servers and hosting accounts and so forth. So don't forget, too, that we've got a great lineup of shows here at GNC. We've got The Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, The New Media Show. Of course, this past Saturday, we had Rob Walsh from Libsyn on, and we both survived. We didn't get bloodied up too bad. So I hope that you guys will check that edition out. Rob and I agreed to disagree on a few things. So definitely want to thank Rob, though, for coming on. And I think we've got, who have we got on tap for next week? I can't remember who Rob said. I'll get the details for you and share that with you on the next show. As well as really what was going to happen tonight is we're going to give away a prize. And so for a random prize giveaway for October, this show started in October of 2004. That was the correct answer. Had a number of people that emailed in. I think there was close to 30. We did a random, basically as the emails come in, I put them in a little folder. I used randomizer. And the name that came up as the winner of a Google TV, Maria Adriana. That's what we have in the box. It was in the very top, was a brand new Google TV. And Maria Adriana, congratulations for your win. And Maria had actually sent her address already. Maria is a listener of ours from Arizona. So thanks, Maria, for coming in and listen to the show. One of the first, we don't get a lot of emails from folks in Phoenix. So congratulations to her, and we'll be sending that out. Have that go in the mail tomorrow to you. So congratulations to that. We're going to do another giveaway. We're going to continue our random giveaways really through the end of the month. So this time, there's really no answer needed whatsoever. All you got to do is send an email. And it'd be nice if you send a little comment about the show. If you don't want to, if you don't have a comment, that's fine. But if you have a little comment about the show, a little tip, something that's annoying you, whatever it may be, you're not going to change your chances of winning. But again, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. We'll pull the next thing out of the grab bag at, the grab boxes, essentially, for the next show. And there's, I'm telling you, there's some nice stuff that the Google TV, I don't know what it's, how much I originally paid for it, but it is available and it's going out the door. But I got a bunch of other stuff as well, too. Matter of fact, I got a brand new box that came in today, and I have no idea what's in it. I didn't order anything, but a big box from UPS come, and probably some sort of a review unit. What did they actually send me? Let's open this thing up right here on the show, and let's see what we got in here. This is that's interesting. It's Okay. It's the Penslick Mini Keyboard K2. And I guess this is for a review. So someone sent me a keyboard review. This will end up in the giveaway pile after I get it done reviewing. So that's, you know, how we kind of fill the giveaway boxes. But that won't be the giveaway for the next show, but it'll be in a future giveaway. And that's just how things kind of work here. Stuff just kind of arrive. And oftentimes I'll have to dig out which PR person sent something to me, but we'll definitely be giving that away in a future show. So anyway, hope everyone's doing good. We're up on live stream tonight, and stream seems to be running good. Good evening, Dale, in the chat room. Thanks for being here, and the rest of you that are either listening post show or whatever. Thanks, and again, you can follow me at Twitter. At Geek News. That's a great way to get started with the connecting here with me at the show. All right, so let me look at my list. Oh, let me talk about my Fitbit. So today was my first, actually last night was my first night sleeping with my little wristband with a Fitbit. Been really working on eating healthier and getting a little more exercise. So this thing is like ground truth. This is telling me what I'm really doing. And if I get brave, I'll start posting some of this online. Last night, it was kind of curious because I wore this to sleep. And so I was real curious this morning when I got up. And there's basically, you push a little button and it tells you it's some sort of an event. And I went to bed, and in the morning I pushed it again. And I guess because of the time, it knew kind of automatically that I was going to sleep. And then I logged in and I looked at the performance and basically how I did for the evening. And I remember my dog was whining at me, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I had to get out of the bed and dump it, basically put him out because he needed to go. And, you know, I was up, opened the door, put him out, locked the door, jumped back in bed, and probably a total of maybe, you know, what did that take? A minute and a half. But the Fitbit picked it up. It said you had a 3 minute period where you were awake, and it actually showed the wake line. And then after that, I was really pretty solid all the way through up to about 3 a.m. And then after that, I slept kind of light. There was a few times that I kind of obviously was tossing, turning or something. But so this morning I woke up, wasn't quite as rested as I normally was. So it showed me, yeah, maybe the dog, when he woke me up, maybe I was really at a lull in, you know, basically being down in REM or something. And was the reason why I didn't sleep good the rest of the night. So it's going to be kind of curious to watch this and see how nightly events go. I normally don't ever have to get out of bed. I'm usually, once I'm in, I'm in. And I've not gotten to a stage in life where I have to get up and use the men's room, but you know, basically when I'm down, I'm down. It sounds kind of bad, doesn't it? But long story short here, this is going to be interesting, and I'm inputting the food types I eat and everything else. It's tracking, and it shows you where you got to go to be on your calorie count and from an exercise standpoint, so that's kind of good. A little bit low today, and you would expect it because, you know, getting ready to do the show, really didn't have a lot of extra stuff to do tonight, so that's kind of how it worked out. But I'll let you know how this Fitbit works. I'm going to get a I'm getting a little, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I'm going to be here for the next 30 years. you know, so it's one of those things where, well, hopefully next 40 years, but at least the next 30. And in order to do that, I need to lose some poundage and definitely get everything a little better in shape here. So just might as well use these nice tools that they have today to see a little bit of ground truth. I can lie about what's on the on the scales, but this thing here, there's no hiding that at all. If you use it, that's the key. If you leave it at home, it doesn't do you no good. So, all right, let's go ahead and boom, boom, boom. Don't forget, if you buy something from GoDaddy, send me a copy of the receipt. We'll put you in for a drawing at the end of the month. And thanks for those of you that have already started to do that. And don't forget our promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, let me, and actually tonight I wasn't rushed. getting home, even though the show started a little bit late from a streaming standpoint, you can tell college's stuff is starting to get out here because we hit the highway at 6:30. I was actually 6:24 and I rolled in my driveway at 6:42. And that is like unheard of at six. It's usually like an hour. But boy, I told the kids, man, if it'd be like this every day, dad's stress level would be a lot lower. Cause when it comes to freeway driving, and I'm parked when I'm not doing 55 or 60 and I'm parked in a parking lot, my blood pressure goes up. I don't do well with it. So lots of stuff to talk about today. This is just a smorgasbord of stuff I found, and it's going to kind of go from one topic to the other. Didn't have a lot of time tonight to kind of line it up. So the good stuff isn't always at the beginning in this show. So hang on to your socks here. First thing up is an article from the MPAA freaking out about it. They're not happy that they may have to consider fair use before filing a DMCA takedown. They say this would be crazy. You know, that there's a key fight that may be shaping up concerning the contours of Section 512 of the DMCA. Basically, that clause that is supposed to allow people to fight back against bogus DMCA takedowns, the details of the fight itself are pretty silly itself. Basically, two angry bloggers fighting with each other. But the underlying legal issue is of critical importance. As we've noted to date, 512F has been rendered almost entirely toothless, such as the tons of bogus DMCA notices are filed all the time, and it's been stifling free speech. So, and this was a case where this is actually probably going to make it to court. And if this individual wins this case on this 512F ruling, what's going to happen is the MPA all of a sudden is going to say, whoa, we have to investigate something before we take it down. They don't like that. And the basically the EFF had filed a amicus a brief and basically saying, hey, the 512F section should be honored. But the MPAA said, no, we don't want to have to consider fair use. So the MPAA doesn't like where the ruling may head if this judge decides that yes, the fair use has to be considered. So this is good. This, you know, we'll see where this leads, but the MPAA is freaking out, and they don't want to have to follow the law or their interpretation as it has been now that they haven't basically considered fair use in a takedown. So we'll see where this goes. But and what the law actually says, it says that it does not say that it excuses conduct otherwise it actual is infringement. Section 107 of the Copyright Act says the fair use of copyrighted work, including such use by reproduction in copies or phono records or any of my means specified by that section for the purpose such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, including multiple copies for classroom use, scholarship, or research, is not an infringement of copyright. And the MPAA has never allowed any type of works that had any type of music to be in it, whether it be for parody or anything like that. So they don't like having to consider fair use. So we'll see where this leads. But there's a good write-up on this on Tech Dirt. Next article up is an incredible, incredible page. Remember we talked about the bus company that has really been pretty evil? Well, in my opinion, they've been evil. So a bus company has posted dirt on complaining passengers. So Suburban Express online campaign against a pastor is now extended to a page dedicated to outing him online. This is incredible. This guy is actually posting stuff about their writers. And this is incredible that they would actually post something about this. And this guy's in full Streisand effect. This company, who was already in trouble by the Illinois Attorney General's office, in addition to the massive amounts of bad press, began when his company assessed a $500 liquidated damages fine to the credit card of a passenger after the individual recounted an incident on a bus contracted by Suburban Express on March 31st. This guy took out a took to Reddit to counter this company, and now they have posted basically they've wrote an incredible blog post about this rider. I mean, really incredible. And so we'll see where this goes, but this company is just loves to make friends and influence people. But they are definitely, they just don't get it. And the company, in my opinion, this company is going to have a huge amount of blowback on this. This is incredible. Now we'll see where this leads, but, you know, the people are basically just completely, this company's completely lost their minds. I'm looking at this and like my mouth is like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I'm going to tell you, if you live anywhere where Suburban Express has service, do not let your kids or get on that bus at all, in my opinion. This is unbelievable what's going on here. So anyway, once you guys read this, your jaw's going to drop. It really, really is. Facebook's home flagship phone, HTC, may be discontinued. All right, Facebook's HTC First, the smartphone herald of Facebook Home, will be discontinued by the carrier partner, according to a report from BGR Monday. The phone released just over a month ago will be returned as unsold inventory to HTC, with only 15,000 handsets making it into customers' hands. Wow, what a dismal failure. Who wants to have Facebook on their main page of their phone? Just makes it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. This next one just goes to show you what happens outside of the United States. There's a Saudi telecom seeking help to basically monitor encrypted Twitter data. And Mobily, a Saudi Arabian telecommunications company with 4.8 million subscribers, is working on a way to intercept encrypted data sent over the internet by Twitter, Viber, and other mobile apps, a security researcher said Monday. Basically, they've been trying to find someone come in and do this. They've got they're looking for a coder and a hacker to be able to figure this out and actually do this for a price for them. One of the design documents that they volunteered specifically called out compelling a certificate authority in the jurisdiction of the UAE or Saudi to produce SSL certificates that they could use for interception. Marlon Spike, who's one of the people that is a pseudonym for cryptographer, basically said this is a considerable portion of the document is also dedicated to discussion of purchasing SSL vulnerabilities or other exploits as possibility. So this is pretty incredible that and it shouldn't come as a surprise. You know, these companies want to have access to all the data that's being said by their citizens. They don't like encryption. And if I was living in Saudi Arabia, I'd probably be scared. I would not be able to do this show, that's for sure. But just be careful if you're in Saudi Arabia and you're an activist and you're using secure methods to try to communicate. It may not be so secure. All right, Aaron Schwartz's prosecutors, yes, the deceased Aaron Schwartz prosecutors, will unseal evidence but won't name names. The federal judge who had overseen the trial of Aaron Schwartz on computer hacking charges has ordered the prosecution to reveal much of the evidence it had against him. However, the government and MIT will be allowed to keep most of the relevant names redacted. Of course, we know that Aaron Schwartz killed himself in January, not long before he was scheduled to defend himself in a trial that could have resulted in several years of prison time. And we know that Schwartz used MIT computer network to download millions of academic papers published in the JSTOR archive. So interesting here that this judge is having this happen. But they're not going to name names in this case. But we're going to see some of the paperwork. We'll see how this falls out. I'd be curious to see the response on this. Now, the other day, my daughter was, we were working on something together, and basically she had my other mobile phone, and she was having a hard time getting it to accept her Gmail account password. So I took the phone from her, said, okay, so what's your password? And she readily gave it to me, and I said, hey, honey, I said, your password's pretty weak. She goes, no one's going to hack my account. I said, well, I'm not worried about them hacking your account. I'm worried about what they're going to find when they are in your account. I said, we need to work on your password. And I really hadn't thought about talking with my kids about a password before. So I asked my son, what's your password? And he tells me, and it was upper, lower, you know, few letters, a number, some more letters. And, you know, basically it was a pretty good password. I said, well, your password's good. And so my Chris, the youngest, I'm like, what's your password? Of course, his password was like, we won't even say, but it was bad. And I'm like, no. We need to go in, and whatever accounts you have, let's log in and let's change the passwords. So if you've ever been nagged about the weakness of your password while changing account credentials on Google, Facebook, or any number of other sites, you may wonder, do these things actually make people choose stronger passcodes? So a team of scientists has concluded that the meters do work, or at least they have the potential to do so, assuming they're set up correctly. So when you're basically instructed on how to basically make the context of the password, people pretty much follow it. But the problem is that they also are saying, okay, if you need two capital letters, some lowercase, some numbers, and, you know, some special characters, that's how people set it up. So try putting the special characters first, you know, mix and match that stuff a little bit. But, the thing is here is if you're having a, if your password is probably less than 11 characters, it's probably a little weak. And I know it's a pain, but definitely work on having a stronger password, and, don't use the same one across multiple accounts. I did for years, you know, prior to me really starting the show and kind of knowing what was going on in the security space. But now I don't use there's a different password for every website that I visit. And matter of fact, I auto-generate mine with a tool, and I couldn't remember it if I even tried. If the tool ever crashes, I'll be resetting password for weeks. But anyway, long story short here, talk to your kids about their passwords as well. All right, police are following up. You know, this is a really, it's an odd one. This is over on Tech Dirt. And basically, there was a situation in Bakersfield, California, where an intoxicated man was allegedly beaten by police. And there was several people, and this is the middle of the night, and several people, it was loud enough that several people woke up and came out of their houses and filmed the actions. And this 19-year-old that had sense of mind to grab his camera has had it confiscated by the police. So really what's going on here is two people were actually videotaped it. The police demanded the phones from the witnesses. The witnesses were, one of the witnesses was reluctant to give it up. They wouldn't leave their house. They were intimidating him. And after about 3 hours, he finally said, listen, I got to go to work here. You just take my phone. And to date, he hasn't gotten it back. Now, another person that was involved in the filming of this beating, she basically said, I'm giving your phone. In order to take it, you're going to need a search warrant. So here's a person that's a bystander who was filming a police action that was taking place. The individual that allegedly was being beat died, and the police have seized the witnesses' cell phones. I think the witnesses were worried that there was going to be a cover-up of evidence. But I think because of the 911 call reporting the beating made by the one gal who required that the police do a search warrant to take her phone, which ended up was what happened. She didn't give up the phone. The other person did. I think it's important if you are witnessing something and you videotape it, that if they demand your property, that I think it's important to make sure that proper documentation is utilized to take that phone so that there's a paper trail. And I think there needs to be importance that there's statements made publicly about what's on that camera. You know, these people were basically, and they were worried that the police were going to, and they're still worried that this footage was being, you know, utilized to cover up. But they were just worried that, that this was, these phones are, with this coverage was going up in some black hole somewhere. And it's good that the one lady stood up and basically said, no, you can't have my camera without a search warrant. Their phones are gone. They'll be used as the witness, whatever is going to happen in this proceedings. But these witnesses do not trust the police. And they said they were quarantined in their home and until they complied with the request to turn over their phones. So this is kind of a scary that they're, they're coming in and there's some constitutionality to this that I'm sure at some point there's going to be some sort of a review, I would hope, by the courts at some point of what the police can do, what they can't. But at least the one gal had the sense of mind to say, no, you can't have my phone unless you get a search warrant. So we'll see where that leads, but we'll try to keep track of it. For a number of years now, Monsanto has been the big bully in the farming industry. And their seeds that they use that are basically Roundup Ready seeds, where in other words, you could put a soybean from Monsanto in the ground. When the crop comes up, you can come over the top with Roundup and spray for the other weeds, and your soybean will not die. Your soybean plant will not die. And Monsanto doesn't allow the replanting of most farmers. In the old days, they would take and they would plant a crop of soybeans with bought and seed, and they would take that seed, the best seed from that harvest. They'd run it through a shifter or a filter and take the biggest beans, and that would be what would go on the ground the following year. And they could do that for 2 or 3 years before they had to go back and buy new seed. And my grandfather did this for years when I was growing up. But what happens now is Monsanto, because they have a patent on the seed, they're not, farmers aren't allowed to replant seed that they have bought. So there was a big court case going on where this farmer who bought official Monsanto seeds and planted his crop, he sold that crop to a local co-op. He then later on went back and bought seeds from the co-op, which he could legally buy the following years that weren't quote-unquote Monsanto-specific ones. And basically, Monsanto came back and said, hey, some of those seeds you sold to the co-op have our patent in it. You can't replant those, even though he legally bought them. The long story share here is this guy did not break any licensing agreement over the seeds that he bought. He also legally purchased, again, the other seeds that had been legally provided to a grain elevator to be sold. All he did was plant those legally purchased seeds for which he was not violating the license agreement, and then harvest and replant the seeds that came from them. And this is apparently illegal now under our patent system. So he could plant them, but he couldn't replant the third generation. So Supreme Court today agreed with Monsanto. This is incredible. This is incredible. Someday, Monsanto is going to be without patent on some of this stuff. I'm sure they're going to keep repurposing it, but farmers are just taking it. They are held captive to this this patent infringement, and now they've got legal precedents. It's not good for the farming industry. You say, how does this relate to tech? Well, it's all about this patent stuff that continues to go on again and again and again. You know, it's really incredible. It really, really is. Now you want to hear something more incredible on the legal side on Prenda? Check this out. Team Prenda is not only still shaking down people, but they're also threatening to tell their neighbors about their, how should we say it, video viewing habits. They're still going strong in the shakedown game. As highlighted by Fight Copyright Trolls late last week, Paul Duffy was still signing letters sent out from a new organization, the Anti-Piracy Law Group. This is a new name cooked up as a replacement after Prenda's name become toxic. And the letters have been sent out the day after Judge Wright complete smackdown of the whole shakedown business. Even more ridiculous is the latest batch of threat letters try to speed up the process by telling people they're going to contact your neighbors about what they believe are your porn habits. Wow. So you got Team Prenda shaking down people and telling them you're going to tell your neighbors what you're doing in your own home. That's, I guess, is about as bad as what's been reported today with the Internal Revenue Service. Goodness gracious, what is going on? You just think about all these people doing this stuff trying to do it within the legal system and abusing their authority. It's just, I mean, it's nuts. So they basically pay up, or we're gonna contact your family, friends, neighbors, and tell them that you've been downloading porn, whether it's true or not. These guys all need to go to jail, in my opinion. This isn't. It's no different than the mob. The mob tactics. Hey, you know, you don't pay up, we're gonna burn your business down. That's the mob. Hey, you don't pay up, we're going to tell your neighbors what you've been doing online. I mean, scum of the earth, in my opinion. Scum of the earth. Incredible. All right, let's talk about good in the world. Former Microsoft CEO Bill Gates displayed a bit of emotion when talking to CBS 60 Minutes about Steve Jobs. The interview didn't focus entirely on the relationship between the two men, with much of the time devoted to Gates' charitable efforts, which are aplenty. But when the conversation shifted to the last meeting before Steve Jobs' death from cancer in 2011, Gates seemed a bit sad. He says, "When he was sick, I got to go down and spend time with him," Gates said, describing their meeting as forward-looking. Jobs spent a portion of their time together showing off designs for his yacht, which he would never see completed, something that Gates defended when the interviewer seemed a little bit incredulous. "Thinking about your potential mortality isn't very constructive," he said. Gates also praised Steve Jobs' marketing and design skills. He said he understood he had an intuitive sense for marketing that was amazing in contrast to his subtle and not so subtle digs at the iPad over the years. Gates conceded that Apple had put the pieces together in a way that succeeded with regards to tablets. Gates' magnanimity toward his former rival in Apple is a reflection perhaps of his current position in life. It's been nearly 5 years since his last full-time day at Microsoft, and with his efforts being on more of a philanthropic, it's no wonder that he made comments like this. But it's nice to see Gates give some kudos where kudos deserved. Of course, we know about the internet sales tax. Well, it may not be a coincidence at all, but the senators have voted last week for the bill allowing states to directly collect taxes on their sales via the internet. According to the AKA Market Fairness Act of 2013, those senators received 40 times as much campaign donation money from businesses in favor of the bill as those who voted against it. Wow, 40 times. Money talks, folks. That's what it's all about in D.C. Money, 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 money. Article over in Slashdot talking about Java. It's no secret that Java's moved to the top of the target list for many attackers, and it has really all the ingredients they love. You know, cross-platform support and lots and lots and lots of vulnerabilities. Malware targeting Java flaws has become a major problem, and new stats are showing that this epidemic is following much the same pattern as malware exploiting Microsoft vulnerability has for years. Research from Microsoft shows that there's been a huge spike in malware targeting Java vulnerabilities since the third quarter of 2011, and much of the activity is centered on patch vulnerabilities in Java. So keep updating Java if you're using it. Otherwise, run. Not surprising. They're looking for any hole they can get. In an incredible story that broke today, there was several that broke today, some that broke over the weekend. One I alluded to a little while ago about the IRS, and we'll stay away from that because that definitely has it's going to be a huge political nightmare for the administration with what they're doing. But it just goes to show the government's doing what they want to do. The government attains a wide AP, Associated Press phone records in a probe. The Justice Department secretly obtained 2 months of telephone records of reporters and editors for the Associated Press and what the News Cooperative top executive called a massive and unprecedented intrusion to how news organizations gather the news. If you think about this, the news organizations who have been so loving of the administration and not willing to really, you know, report on some things that are out there, they are now are finding out that their own phone records are being basically probed. And they don't like it. And it shouldn't come as a surprise. But the records obtained by the Justice Department listed outgoing calls for the work and personal phone numbers of individual reporters for general AP office numbers in New York, Washington, and Hartford, Connecticut, and then for the main number of AP in the House of Representatives press gallery. In all, the government seized records for more than 20 separate telephone lines assigned to the AP and its journalists in April and May of 2012. More than 100 journalists work in those offices where phone records were targeted on a wide array of stories about government and other matters. According to the Attorney General, Eric Holder, basically said that the government sought to obtain information far beyond anything that could be In a letter of protest sent to Attorney General Eric Holder on Monday, the AP President Chief Executive Officer Gary Pruitt said the government sought and obtained information far beyond anything that could be justified by any specific investigation. Now, apparently, they were investigating a story that was exposed on the AP about a foiled terror plot, and they were looking for a leak that basically had leaked this data to the AP. It's unknown, though, whether judge or grand jury signed off on those subpoenas. But this is pretty disturbing for the press. Their phones are being tapped by the U.S. government, the same government that they're reporting on. We should make them wake up a little bit, don't you think, folks? And start to look at things with a little more critical eye. All right, switching gears here. Is Windows 8 really killing the PC market? Microsoft doesn't think so. They sold 100 million Windows 8 licenses to date. That rate puts the company's newest OS on par with Windows 7. But it isn't the whole story. You know, Microsoft also licenses a lot of, does bulk to companies. And they say that with global PC shipments in a free fall, with IDC saying that 14% drop in the first quarter, the steepest single quarter decline ever, they're saying, how can Microsoft keep selling licenses like it's good old days of Windows 7? And basically, Microsoft isn't necessarily beholden to rely on computer sales. So it's an interesting move here. Nor had with 100 million licenses sold, they're estimating that only 41% of all Windows 8 licenses have been used. And I would agree, I got two here that I haven't used. So if I'm any indication, I guess that might follow along to be good. Windows 7 is still by far king of the hill, followed by Windows XP, Mac OS X, Win Vista, iOS, and then Windows 8 at 3.19%, which is pretty incredible with Win 7 having well over 50%. So we'll see where Microsoft goes with a next update to Windows 8. We'll hope that the start button comes back. All right, Google has dumped data silos, announced a unified storage pool for Gmail and Drive. So this is kind of an interesting move here by the folks at Google. Traditionally, Google has had their services as solitary islands. But what they've done now is they've all combined it together. Before, Gmail users were given 10 gigs of free storage, which was kept wholly separate from the 5 gigs of cloud storage handed out by Google Drive users. Now you'll get a flat 15 gigs of free storage, and you can fill it up with whatever you like in whatever proportions you like. If you want 100 gigs, it's going to cost you $4.99 a month. 200 gigs, $9.99 a month. So, of course, those of us that are using Google Apps, we get up to 30 gigs. And the company plans on rolling out new storage setting visualization tools to help you keep tabs on which services are sucking up your digital allotment. So, kind of an interesting move here by Google. And nice, basically make it a little more easy to swallow from a cost perspective and be able to keep track of, you know, you don't have to have three bills, you just have one, which is good. All right, five new features coming in Firefox 21. Yes, Firefox 21 tomorrow. You know, when you say Firefox 21, don't you expect that to be like 20 years from now? Of course, it's only been 6 weeks since the release of Firefox 20. So assuming Mozilla stays on its usual schedule, Firefox 21 will make its debut basically, for those of you listening today. So they're going to have three do not track options. It's going to have a Firefox health report. It's going to have startup suggestions, improved performance, which is always good, and an expanded social API. So those are supposedly the new features coming in Firefox 21 tomorrow. Link will be up in the show notes. All right, the Bitcoin network basically is outperforming the top 500 supercomputers combined. There's a little story done on Extreme Tech. They're saying that what's going on in the Bitcoin space is there's so many people running, basically mining for Bitcoins, that they're now using the processing power of up to 6 to 8 times greater than the top 500 supercomputers combined. They're saying that that they're using 1 exaflop, 10 to the 18th floating point operations per second. And they say that's no small feat. Sequoia, one of the world's fastest computers, is capable of 16.32 petaflops, but that's only 1.6% of the estimated power of Bitcoin mining network. And because it's basically, they're calculating this over the entire network and the number of people that are doing it. So it's not just because we have these, people have these Bitcoin computers, there's massive networks. No, no, no. It's so many people are mining for Bitcoin. So I'd love to hear someone that's actually mining for Bitcoins. If they had any success, are they making any money? Love to hear from someone that's actually doing it and trying to mine a Bitcoin. All right, over in CNET, the 11 Google Glass improvements that they hope that Google will I/O delivers. And they got quite a good list here. Apps, more iOS integration, glass-to-glass communications, earbud support, augmented reality, gaming in glass, practical applications, increased battery life. Those are some of the things they're hoping for with glass. And you know, I'm already carrying around a battery pack when I'm playing Ingress. So I guess we'll just plug the glasses in, you know. Have a cord running off our back of our ear. You know, keep the glass powered up. Hey, today Amazon rolled out Cloud Player app for PC. The company's latest app lets users store music files offline while accessing the stream. This is pretty cool. This is an extension of its music streaming service. While PC users could already use the player through the web, the new app noted by Mashable on Monday will also allow for offline storage. And the app automatically syncs your music library with any files on your computer that you haven't added to the cloud, and it exports your Amazon MP3 to iTunes and Windows Media Player. You can also upload an unlimited number of Amazon songs plus 250 songs purchased outside of Amazon to a cloud locker and then stream them wirelessly. Pretty cool. And we're doing some of that kind of stuff here with the kids to keep them from basically doing things they shouldn't with getting media. We have a library here that's available that they can access and stream. All right, Samsung announces 5G wireless technology. You're not going to see this probably for at least 10 years. But on Monday, Samsung announced it developed a new 5G wireless standard that could be hundreds of times faster than today's 4G network. The new wireless standard is at least, oh, they're saying 7 years away, so you won't be streaming full seasons of Game of Thrones in 3D soon, and 7 years is a lifetime in tech. So we'll see what this is, but it could be competing for bandwidth here in just a few short years. So we'll see where this goes. BBC is reporting pilotless flight trialed in UK shared airspace. A Jetstream aircraft became the first to fly unmanned across the UK. There was a pilot on board. He handled the takeoff and landing, but during the 500-mile journey, the specially designed aircraft was controlled by a pilot on the ground instructed by the National Air Traffic Services. No passengers, but it did fly in the same area airways as commercial air flights did. So just another step to getting a place where drones, you're going to look out your window of your commercial flight and there will be a drone off your side wing sharing the airspace. All right, NASA's arranged a quick spacewalk to repair a leaking space station. Two astronauts completed an impromptu spacewalk on Saturday. And per a press release from NASA, the crew of the International Space Station, which discovered a small leak in the cooling system, this is a 260-pound pump that they pulled out with a spare that they had aboard the International Space Station. The whole process took about 5.5 hours, and the leak appears to have stopped. So, in total, the crew and ground support prepared for the spacewalk in less than 48 hours. There have only been 168 walks related to the ISS, and each of this weekend's participating astronauts, flight engineers Chris Cassidy and Tom Mashburn, has spacewalked twice before. So that's very, very cool. They were able to get her fixed with the spare parts that were on board. But a 260-pound pump, wonder how long it's going to be before they get another replacement up. Commander Chris Hadfield has bid adieu to the National Space Station, and he is on his way back. If they haven't already departed and landed, but they turned over to the Russians. And he's been well known. Pictures and all kinds of stuff he's put up online. Actually, I got an article here later in the show tonight that has some stuff from him, which is pretty cool. Hey, those of you in Canada, a flying car crashes near an elementary school. This was a prototype, and it happened in British Columbia. And the car, which is kept aloft by a parasail and driven forward by a rear propeller, hit a fence and then a tree. Both the pilot and passenger were injured. They were taken to the hospital, treated, and released. The car cost about $94,000. It traveled up to about 40 miles per hour in the air and requires a 100-meter runway to both take off and land, but it is no more. It is a smashed piece of metal. Well, luckily, the pilots walked away with this. But anyway, interesting situation with that. It's being reported that the worst file-sharing pirates spend 300% more on content than honest consumers. Telecoms regulator Ofcom has published a study into the state of online copyright infringement in the UK with some very interesting conclusions. The researchers found that 10% of the country's most prolific infringers are responsible for almost 80% of all infringement carried online. But with a bonus, these plus an additional 10% of infringers spend 300% more than honest consumers. So they're actually spending some money while they're out there at the same time downloading stuff. There's a good article over on CNET talking about Arrow. Arrow's fine-tunes its TV streaming price plans. A streamlined plan starting at $8 a month does away with long-term commitments and with annual and daily options. So basically, they have a single plan now, $8 a month, and that's what's going to cost you to use their service. Now, if you want to use the you get 20 hours of DVR technology as well. That costs up to $12 a month. For $12 a month, they can upgrade you to 60 hours of DVR storage. You do get 20 hours with the $8 plan. So you get the first month of service for free. So if you're in those markets, and if you live in Boston, you're going to be getting this service soon. love to hear someone that's on this in the New York area. I really would. I think it'd be cool. Hey, there's a great tour of the International Space Station with Sonny Williams. Remember, Sonny was Expedition 33 commander, and there's some good videos up on that. I'll have that link in the show notes for you to check out. Just something I happened to find today as I was browsing stuff on NASA. There's a company called Shearwind who's claiming that it has invented a new wind turbine that produces 600% more power. And they basically funnel air into a system. It basically makes a lot of sense. Instead of having a big propeller, basically they have big open areas where the wind blows in, gets driven down into a smaller area, which spins the turbine. And they say that wind is blowing into their system at 10 miles per hour. The speed is increased to 40 before it enters the turbine because of, you know, the thing being compressed down. And then it's, as it comes out, it comes out into the environment at 15 miles per hour. And they're saying this is very, very efficient. So this could really make a big change in how things work on energy. Basically, the energy being created from just pure wind power. So there, it's, you know, it's just like a tuba. Starts, it comes out big, but it starts small. It's using the opposite type of a design. So very, very slick. ABC is planning to use live streaming in the cloud to challenge Arrow. So as ABC is going to offer iOS users in New York and Philadelphia a 24-hour live stream on its programming this week. It's the first time a broadcaster has embraced live streaming. So this week, with them taking the fight against Arrow, the network will start streaming its entire programming schedule in real time to viewers. So this is huge. So there's a few differences between ABC's and Arrow's approach. After a 6-week introductory phase that will be open to anyone in two markets, AV streams will only be available to authenticated cable subscribers. And ABC is using cloud technology to deliver its live stream, making the endeavor a whole lot cheaper than Arrow's. So we'll see what happens with this. But this is an interesting move by CBS. And but you'll have to validate. You still have to have cable service to get it. All right, switching up here a little bit tonight. Spy on every public edit to Wikipedia in real time. So basically there's a way to do that now. But basically you can watch what's going on the Wikipedia, recent change map. So it shows where in the country the changes are being made too. So it's kind of a slick little thing to watch changes on Wikipedia if you're into that. The Justice Department follows the letter of the transparency law. And there was a document that the ACLU requested and via a Freedom of Information Act. And some of those documents revealed the FBI has maintained it has a right to access email from third-party services like Google without a warrant. So when the documents were sent and they abided by the law, they blacked out the entire 50-page document. They provided the paper, but there wasn't a single word you could read. Every document that they sent, actually, they sent a total of 69 pages that were completely redacted other than title, page numbers, and some other metadata. Wow. That's incredible. So, the Freedom of Information Act, they provided it, but they blacked out the entire document. And of course, they had to pay for that. ACLU had to pay for those documents, so much per document. So they got 50 pages of nothing on them, but just black ink. Those of you that have been holding off going to T-Mobile and getting an iPhone, just in 1 month, T-Mobile raises its 99 iPhone 5 down payment by $50. So it's now $149 instead of $99. If you're interested in the Google I.O., this Wednesday, 1,000 people are going to flock to San Francisco's Moscone Center to take part in Google I.O., the company's annual developer conference. Tickets to the event sold out in less than an hour, but there's some good news for anyone who didn't make the cut or couldn't afford the $900 to take part in the spectacle. Google once again streamed the event online. So live streaming starts on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific with a keynote and will continue throughout the day with up to 5 simultaneous live streams of key technical sessions, as well as exclusive interviews, product unboxings, and demos from the I.O. floor. So live streams will be available on Thursday starting at 10 a.m. But it doesn't look like Google will stream any of Friday sessions online, but it's going to be available directly on the I.O. site, and there'll be detailed schedule as well. So if you saved your $900, you can watch the majority of it online. Hey, Gizmodo's got a great picture. This past weekend, I think, the World Trade Center spire was being installed, and they had a camera on it. So you get this downward look that is pretty dizzying to a certain effect. And I have that link up in the show notes, but the video is like, wow, this thing is huge. And to be watch it being installed is pretty incredible. There's no way you're getting me at the top of this building to do iron work. Those iron workers, I'm going to tell you, they earn their money. But with one World Trade Center, it's going to be it's the third tallest building in the Western Hemisphere at 1,776 feet. You know, it's the 1776. A little bit of irony there. Cool stuff by this video from a POV camera. Very, very slick. There's a new vaccine that may make folks that have addiction issues, specifically cocaine. This new vaccine eats cocaine like Pac-Man to kick addiction. You know, cocaine addiction, which carries notoriously high relapse rate, may have met their match in the form of a simple, long-lasting booster vaccine. But what they've done is they combine particles that mimic the structure of cocaine with common cold virus. This new vaccine tricks your body into recognizing cocaine as a threat, prompting it to go into attack mode. Or as one Dr. Ronald Crystal, the chairman of the Department of Genetic Medicine at Weill Cornell Medical College, puts it, vaccine eats up the cocaine in the blood like a little Pac-Man before it can reach the brain. Even a person who receives the anti-cocaine vaccine falls off the wagon, the cocaine will have no effect. They've only tried this on rats so far, and at some point they're going to go into human trials, but very interesting. For cocaine addicts dedicated to breaking the vicious cycle of withdrawal and relapse, this could be something new. Hey, all you need is get a shot, folks, if you're you got a cocaine habit. Kind of an interesting move, yeah? Couple articles over in Geek News Central to pay attention to. Faster Wi-Fi and airplanes coming soon. There's a Rister article done by Jeffrey Powers. Jeffrey's contributing stuff to GNC again. So he's wrote up a nice article here. Some stuff that's come out of the FCC. So you definitely want to take some time and read that article. Those of you that go to concerts and hate to leave the concert to go get a beer or other type of a drink, there's going to be a festival down in South Africa that's been going on since 1955. And this year, they're going to try to deliver beers via an 8-propeller helicopter drone. And basically, this beer will fly over the festival and locate the person who ordered a beer. The drone will then drop a single beer, which has been attached to a small parachute. Yeah, I want to see this. Okay, you're going to drop the beer and it's going to be attached to a parachute. You don't think other people in the audience are going to say, there's my beer? I think that's going to be the case. I'd just be surprised if this actually works. All right, Netflix has updated the PS3 app. So the PlayStation 3 will soon be getting replaced as a flagship console for Sony, but that doesn't mean customers will suddenly cease to use it for gaming entertainment. So Netflix has given the customers a device even more more reason to stick with the aging platform, and they've announced a major update to its PlayStation 3 app. So that's big news for those of you watching Netflix on PS3. And of course, as I talked about earlier, the HTC first Facebook phone has been a flop, and AT&T to discontinue service. Another article by Jeffrey at Geek News Central. All right, ABC is going to add live streaming to its iOS app with our rollout in New York City. So not only is CBS making a move, so is ABC. So that's kind of an interesting move here. All right, last few articles tonight. MedRef for glass. uses facial recognition to identify patients to keep health records. So doctors are wearing glass. They're going to look at their patient's face with glass. It's going to identify the person and then be able to record the doctor session and keep for their medical records. Don't know if I want everything being said to my doctor to be recorded or not. That makes me go, just a little bit. What else have we got here? I already talked about that one. We'll skip that one. Sony SBH50 Bluetooth headset. This is kind of an interesting product line. And Sony is trying to up its game in style and everything else. But Sony's come out with this Bluetooth headset. And it's touting NFC and smart remote. Pretty slick little product. $150. But definitely an interesting way to get audio to your ear when you got your phone in your pocket. To me, that's just one extra device I don't need. But some folks will like it. I just wish there was a way that I could automatically switch my kids' headphone off when I'm trying to get their attention. let's see here. If you guys want to watch, let's see here, is this too late? Today is the 13th. After 5 months staying in the space station, crew comprising of one Canadian astronaut, one U.S. astronaut, one Russian cosmonaut, returned to Earth aboard a Soyuz space capsule. Landing is broadcast on NASA TV beginning at 3:45 Pacific, with touchdown occurring at 7:30 Pacific, which is Tuesday morning in Kazakhstan, where they land. The broadcast will pause after Soyuz undocks with the space station. So when is the actual date it's going to land? I guess tomorrow? Begin it through. They don't say the actual date, but anyway, there is a Ustream live video feed that's going to be available of this this return of these astronauts. Okay, last article for tonight. Actually, that was it. That was a double. I had that one in there earlier. Let me go here and let's go over to. All right, let me download you, and. Okay, I'll log back in. Yes, my session did expire. Has been a few minutes here since I logged in. Let's see where we're at on time. We're okay on time. And I don't know. These two, well, we'll download them. One's 29 seconds and another one is, so save the file. Let's download this one and save the file. Okay. Oh, do I have this plugged in? Crap, I don't. All right, got to plug the cable in, and this will probably make a little buzz, so watch your ears here for just a second. All right, that's plugged in. And let's see here. Go to the download page. Open the folder. And let's see what we got in this first. Is there two videos? Oh, two audios. There we go. Here's the first one.
Hey, Todd. My name is Eric Nathal. I'm calling you from Max Borges Agency.
Oh.
I'm going to send you an email.
Okay. This is a PR guy, so we'll skip that one. Let's see who this one's from. Okay. I double-clicked you. Are you going to open? Why are you... You know, sometimes... It just drives me crazy. Why are you just sitting here spinning? All right, let's open with a different program. Let's open with Winamp. Sometimes Windows Media Player, junk. Total junk. Oh. All right.
Hi, Todd. This is Sylvester with Mission. You can reach me at 212.
That's who? Obviously not someone listening for the show. All right. So I guess there was no, there was two calls, but they, I don't know why the PR people have my regular phone number. So I don't know why they're calling that number. Let me go ahead and open up the mail here. We did have some email that came in. And that's what I get for not reviewing stuff before I start the show. And And let's go over to GNC comments. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Let's see here. That's contest. I got an email here from Frank. He said, "Hey, Todd, I saw this as the linuxquestions.org site talks about problem with Snapchats. So Snapchats don't disappear. And I'm not really familiar with Snapchats itself. I guess that's some sort of an app. What is it? Snapchats are stuff where kids are sending back and forth to one another, and the chat or the image or whatever is supposed to disappear. So a 24-year-old forensic examiner from Utah has made a discovery that makes some Snapchat users think twice before sending a photo that they think is going to quickly disappear. This forensic guy found that it's possible to pull Snapchat photos from the Android phone simply by downloading the data from them using forensic software and removing a .no media file extension that was keeping the photos from being viewed on the device. So they're not being deleted. They're just being renamed. So that's kind of scary, but thanks for sending that over, Frank. Got an email here from MS Small Biz. You say, "Todd, right here is one of the..." Okay, appeals court ruling could be the death of software patents. He said, "Right here is one of the two reasons Adobe and everyone else is pushing cloud/subscription service. With the growth of any of these companies tied directly to China and Africa, they cannot hope to continue sales growth based on software sales. They know the license model they have been using is under attack, and with the potential to lose patent coverage would be decimated, say a Microsoft subscription service would provide annual revenue they can book on, and even with the loss of patent protection, their software would be safe, especially if what makes it work is tied back to their cloud servers. Still don't like paying for software. Really, really don't." Let's see here. Contest. Got an email from Michael. He said, "Hi, Todd. Once again, a major hack is making big news. This time, a syndicate made off with $45 million globally. It was a pretty elaborate scheme, but once again, the first step was malware, more specifically, keylogging malware used to gain credentials to access the bank and credit card processing databases. Keyloggers are almost always responsible for data theft, over 95% of the time." So, interesting response here. I just wonder where that data comes from, 95%. So, Michael, thanks for that. Next time, send me a backing up link to that so we can have some substantiating data on that as well. That's a giveaway. I got an email here from Joshua. Let's see, when did that come in? Okay. "I was watching your show 856 and the part where you talk about what Bill Gates said about the iPad versus Surface. I'll explain more further, but my basic question is the iPad good for video content creation? I'm a young video editor. I have a great editing workstation at home. However, when I am away, I need a solution where I can still do work for my clients. I have an iPad and bought iMovie for it. However, there are many times I need a PIP effect, and that can just not be accomplished in iMovie. Between that and powerful live streaming, I am considering getting a Windows 8 tablet. I enjoy the touch interface on the iPad. However, I also understand that Windows 8 is not as polished. Is there any better video editor for the iPad or broadcasting software? In the end, I have Photoshop for the iPad, GarageBand for the iPad, so I really need to find an excellent video editor. Thanks again for any help and all work that you do with your team. Do sent from my iPhone, Joshua." As far as doing video, I still think, if you're doing a serious video, your Mac or your PC with whatever software of choice you use is probably the way to go. The MacBook Pros now are pretty powerful. And I don't do any video editing on my iPad. I think it's good for quick little fun projects, but other than that, I just don't see getting a lot of use out of them that way. An email that came in just as the show was starting came from Nier. He said, "Facebook close to buying Waz for $1 billion. Oh, that's cool. And of course, Nier turned us on to Waz before. So appreciate it, Nier, sending that email over. I have all this stuff in the show notes tonight. We want to thank everyone for the emails. We want to thank all the contestants as well. Don't forget the ongoing giveaway we're going to have here through the end of the month. share this show with your friends, people that you know. Not only am I giving away great gear here for the next month, I hope that you guys will come in and become an insider and support us here with a small monetary donation. Become a monthly subscriber. 6 cents a day gets you $2 a month. You know, just $2 is what it, $2 goes a long way if everyone that listened to this show become an insider. We appreciate those insiders that are on board and those that are continuing to add their subscriptions each show. And then I also want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Hey, until next time, everyone, we'll see you. And don't forget geeknews@gmail.com. @geeknews is the Twitter address. And, of course, the hotline is available at 619-342-7365. We'll take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.